Transition from IDU concentrated to heterosexual HIV epidemics. Thank you very much.
Thank you. First, I would like to acknowledge my co-authors, Jonathan Fehlmeyer, Shilpa Modi, Kamir Ariste, Bradley Mathers, Louisa Degenhart, and Holly Hagen. This study represents a tremendous amount of data collection and analysis, and everyone has worked particularly hard on it. Okay. I have no relationships to disclose. I mean, this is an international study in HIV epidemiology, and I think it's very, very hard to find any sort of conflicts of interest in international epidemiology. There don't seem to be a lot of people paying you to influence your data results. Background: one of the potential consequences of high levels of HIV infection among injecting drug users is that an HIV epidemic among IDUs can lead to self-sustaining heterosexual epidemic of HIV. We do know that combined harm reduction programs have proven effective in reducing HIV incidence and prevalence among IDUs, but we don't yet have, in several countries with documented evidence of high levels of HIV among IDUs, and we know that IDU populations have been well covered by harm reduction programs in many areas, but we don't know what happens with heterosexual populations. They typically do not receive the same level of harm reduction funding and attention. That in general, transitions from IDU concentrated epidemics to heterosexually driven epidemics has been a major issue that has not received much attention within traditional harm reduction programs. There clearly harm reduction programs do distribute condoms, but beyond that, there has been relatively modest attention to sexual transmission compared to injecting related transmission. We use papers by Mathers et al. And Asias to identify countries that had 20% or greater HIV prevalence among IDUs, so that these are countries where there clearly has been a large amount of HIV transmission among IDUs. We also then contacted UNAIDS, country ministries of health, surveillance reports to plot population level HIV and heterosexual incidence by year for each country. We had key contacts at UNGAS, UNAIDS, and country health departments to obtain this data. We found that the transitions from IDU-concentrated HIV epidemics to sustained heterosexual epidemics occurred in 10 of the 13 locations we studied. We found three different outcome patterns. First, in a few countries, there was no transition. In these countries, IDUs still dominated the epidemic, and they had not experienced a transition to heterosexually sustained HIV transmission. The second pattern was a rapid high HIV/AIDS incident transition. In these countries, the transition occurred within 2 years of the peak incidence of HIV or AIDS among IDUs, and the transition occurred at a level within 80% or greater of the incidence peak among IDUs. And the third pattern was a long-term lower HIV/AIDS incidence transition. This occurred 8 to 10 years after the peak HIV incidence or AIDS incidence among IDUs, and at a level of 50% or less than the peak of the HIV incidence among IDU. I'll give you examples of these three different patterns. This is Russia. The red line is HIV incidence among IDUs. There was a rapid peak. It came down, and it's now going back up. The green line is HIV among heterosexuals. It stayed very, very low for a long period of time, but you can see that it's now going up. If a transition to predominantly heterosexual transmission occurs, it's likely to be sometime in the next 5 years or so. This is an example of a high rapid transition. This is France. The red line is HIV AIDS among injecting drug users. It went up somewhat gradually and then came down somewhat gradually. There's a period of about 4 years between the peak and the real drop. And you can see that heterosexual cases went up almost as rapidly as among the IDUs, and the transition occurred here at a level where HIV AIDS was still high among IDUs. This is data from New York City. Here we see a peak among the IDUs in the early 90s, and then a rapid decline of HIV AIDS among IDUs. Heterosexual transmission stayed fairly low for a long time, has gradually come up. The transition did not occur until the early 2000s, and it is clearly occurring at a level much below the peak among IDUs. So that this is an example of the type of transition you do not want, where the transition is occurring shortly after the peak among IDUs, and it's the heterosexual cases are reaching, the transition is occurring at where HIV among IDUs is still at a high level. If you are going to have a transition, the New York model is clearly preferable, where HIV AIDS among heterosexuals stays low and comes down among IDUs before the transition occurs. Okay. So that we found two distinct patterns of crossover from IDU-driven to heterosexually dominant HIV epidemics. One, the highly undesirable, where it occurs rapidly and at a high level of incident cases among IDUs, and a second pattern of transition where it occurs over a long time period, typically 8 to 10 years after the peak of HIV incidence among IDUs, and it's occurring at a level far below the peak of HIV AIDS among IDUs. To note some of the limitations, we work with surveillance data from certain locations. The AIDS incidence cases were plotted over time because we did not have HIV incidence from all areas. The quality of data clearly may vary across these different countries and over time. For larger countries such as Russia, national data may not reflect local epidemic. And at present, we haven't considered other modes of HIV transmission, such as MSM transmission, and how that might influence heterosexual transmission. We're continuing this work. We're looking at quantitative analyses to identify covariate factors that may predict the speed and nature of the transition, including among these are the prevalence of female injecting drug users, the prevalence of female injecting drug users who are commercial sex workers, prevalence of male IDUs who utilize commercial sex workers, and the prevalence of syphilis among high-risk groups and the general population. These would all influence transmission, sexual transmission of HIV outside of the IDU group, and syphilis could definitely facilitate both transmission from IDUs to non-IDUs and further heterosexual transmission from non-IDUs to other non-IDUs. We will also be looking to see if the timing and implementation of specific harm reduction programs influence the type of transmission, including implementation of needle syringe programs, opiate substitution therapy, condom distribution, sexually transmitted disease testing and development, and structural interventions aimed at population level In particular, we want to look at whether there were any efforts made to reduce the transition into injecting drug use. Thank you.
Your questions?
Okay, Peter. Yeah, Peter?
Don, for a real good talk regarding syphilis and the transmission of that from the IDU population and the general population. Something we just found with the other group we saw today from UCSD was that syphilis can be transmitted solely through injection drug use as well as sexually. So it's something that it's kind of come full circle, and you have a dynamic one that I think you're on the right target here. All these variables work together.
Yes, in analyses we have done since these PowerPoints were put together, it looks like syphilis, particularly syphilis among IDUs, is a very important factor in leading to that rapid transmission, transition at a high level. The other important factor about syphilis is that it's curable. You can send your mobile vans out to find people. You can do syphilis testing at syringe exchange programs, at drug abuse treatment programs. You can set up clinics for commercial sex workers, so that it may be a critically important factor that you can actually do something about in relatively short periods of time. That would sort of be in contrast to herpes, which also transmits, facilitates HIV transmission, but we don't have any effective cure for herpes, and the studies doing herpes suppression don't show an effect on HIV transmission. So that in the analyses that we're working on currently, syphilis looks like one of the most important factors because it facilitates sexual transmission from injectors to non-injectors, and it's something where you can implement rapid, effective programs. Okay. Thank you.